sing this song, The Windows of Heaven Are Open. And that's where they leave, looking for us in a little prayer tonight. And, the windows of heaven are open.
Also that the same couple last year or a few years back, they had a baby who was doing well, everything was fine, but suddenly the baby died. So it's a really request that we need to give to the Lord and ask for his mercy on that couple so that that baby should survive and be a testimony for the glory of the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening, O Lord, because we came with our filthy garments, O Lord,
yes,
knowing that you are going to give us the garment of righteousness, O Lord.
Yes.
You are going to clothe us into your holiness, O Lord, so that we stand before you. Because standing before you, we can't bring our sinful nature, O Lord.
Yes.
And if we are admitted as we are, we know that you are seeing us through your righteousness, O Lord, and that the blood is cleansing us from every sin, O Lord.
Yes.
Because we have accepted the sacrifice, we We have accepted the atonement, O Lord, and we know boldly, O Lord, that today we are standing as children of God, and there's no more condemnation. There's no more devil. There's no more Satan to stand and condemn us, O Lord. Despite our weaknesses, O Lord, we know that we are your children, and you are interceding for us, O Lord. We thank you for admitting us into your presence. We thank you for your provision day after day, O Lord. Because you said in the prayer, you taught us how to pray, that we should ask for our daily bread, O Lord. Because you knew that we didn't need our weekly bread. We didn't need our monthly or yearly bread, O Lord. We need your grace day after day, O Lord. And we know that you provide day after day. We don't have to care for tomorrow, O Lord, because your provision is more than enough. If it can provide for today, O Lord, it will provide for the following days, and so on, Heavenly Father. Spiritually, physically, financially, O Lord, and materially, Heavenly Father. We know that we have a providing God that will never forsake us, because David said he has never seen a righteous man forsaken, O Lord. You'll never forsake us. You'll be with us forever, O Lord.
Yes.
We know, O Lord, that we are needy people.
Yes.
We have come with our needs, O Lord.
Yes.
We have come with our requests, O Lord.
Amen.
We have come with our desires, O Lord. We know, Heavenly Father, that before even we can speak, the answer has been released, O Lord. Before even that we can say anything, O Lord, the Holy Spirit, who sees the deepest of our hearts, O Lord, has interceded for us, O Lord, and you have given the answer, O Lord. We know, O Heavenly Father, that we'll see even our unexpressed needs to be fulfilled, O Lord. Some of our needs, O Lord, we don't even know them, O Lord. But you, in your omniscience, O Lord, you have known it before the foundation of the world, O Lord, and you have provided, O Lord. That's why any sickness, O Lord, in our midst, some of them we are not even aware, O Lord. Any cancer, O Lord, any tuberculosis, O Lord, any kind of sickness in our midst, we condemn it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, we proclaim healing and salvation of your people, oh Lord. Because our redemption, oh Lord, was not only spiritual, oh Lord, it was also physical, oh Lord. And as, oh Lord, as a deposit, as a preview of our change of body, O Lord, you have given us divine healing, O Lord. That's why, Heavenly Father, we proclaim and we claim it in the name of the Lord Jesus. O Lord, we think of that little baby down there in Zimbabwe. O Lord, less than a day old, just came to this world, O Lord. She's looking forward to have a life on this earth. But look at what the devil is trying to do to that girl or boy, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we know that is not your plan.
Amen.
If you protected the mother for 9 months, O Lord, if you helped her, O Lord, through many trials, through many challenges, and she overcame and she delivered that baby. Now, we are lifting our faith, O Lord. Heavenly Father, they may not be believing what we believe, O Lord, but we believe for them, O Lord. We believe for that child, O Lord. And we call you on the scene now, O Lord. Come down, O Lord. Come, Heavenly Father, and with your powerful hand, touch that baby, O Lord. We proclaim her healing in the name of the Lord Jesus. In any manner, O Lord, we are proclaiming that that baby is well, O Lord, and that she will not even need that operation in the name of the Lord Jesus. O Lord, be merciful, O Lord. Prove that you are still the same. We know you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, O Lord. And we know and we believe that will prove it in our midst, O Lord. Make our joy perfect, O Lord. Grant it for the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, be with us now as we commit this service into your hands. Bless your servant who is going to minister to us, O Lord. Bless his efforts, O Lord. Bless his family, O Lord. Bless his children. He has put himself apart, O Lord. Separated himself from his own to try and fulfill the heavenly commission. Grant it more than what he desires, O Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless our brethren who couldn't make it tonight.
Amen.
You know why they couldn't make it. Those who are just weak and lazy, O Lord, comfort them. And let them stand, O Lord, and take position for the word. Be with us now, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Let's sing this song, put on the garment of praise, amen. We put on the garment of praise tonight, hallelujah. Put on the garment of praise, please put on the garment of praise,
and the Spirit.
Bye. place, Lord, where we cannot be shaken by the
Amen.
Enemy. Lord, a place, Lord, where all things are possible.
Yes.
A place, Lord, where the enemy doesn't know what to do with us, Lord.
Yes.
When he tries to come to us, Father, he just finds no way in.
Yes.
Father, that is the place that we are looking for tonight.
Yes.
May you help us, Lord, as we look into your word, that, Father, we may find such a place, oh God.
Amen.
I pray for the brethren that are not here. May you bless each and every one of them,
yes.
Oh God.
Amen.
Father, may they also receive from where they are a proportion
Amen.
From heaven tonight.
Yes.
Lord, and we ask, Father, that you be the one in this place now.
Please.
We are not able, for we are only men.
Amen.
Father, with you all things are possible.
Yes.
So we pray now, Father, that you take over.
Yes.
That, Lord, your will may be done tonight.
Yes.
Remembering even this little baby that has just come into the world.
Yes.
How cruel the enemy is, Lord, from the mother's womb to the operating table. Lord, oh God, we call upon your name tonight.
Yes.
Father, you would remember this little one.
Yes.
Oh God, may you give this baby a chance,
Amen.
That she may grow up to serve you, to know
Hallelujah.
That her life may become a testimony.
Amen.
Lord, that will be spoken of in generations
yes.
to come if
yes.
you try. We commit the parents of this child into your hands,
yes.
the grandparents of this child into your hands.
Yes.
Father, may you watch over them, Lord,
Please.
And make a way for them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
May God bless you to my extent. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now a city is quite a thing. A man that comes and takes over a city. I imagine in the days that this verse was written, in the days of Solomon, cities were not like perhaps the way we imagine them today. They were like the city of Jericho or the city of Jerusalem, where there was a great wall around the city. And because of protection, and a man comes and takes over this city, that must be some mighty man to do that. But here it's written that he that ruleth his own spirit is mightier than a man that takes over a city.
Wow.
So there must be something about the spirit of a man.
Amen.
You are able to put your own spirit under subjection to the word of God. That you are mightier than a man that can come over and take Dublin tonight.
Wow.
So
Amen.
We just want to look at that a little bit. If the Lord will help us. Let's just pray a little bit.
Amen.
Father, we have read your word. We ask, Father, that you help us now. As we
yes,
Lord. It. May you speak to us, Father. I pray that it will help someone. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you prepare us, Lord, and help
yes.
us in our Christian walk. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to read again in the book of James, chapter 4. This one. If you don't mind, you can slide. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Do you mind with my slide? Thank you very much. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence? And I was for the definition of the word there, hence from the same. So from where come wars and fightings? From Amani. Do they not come from you? So when there's a war and a conflict and something from among us, where did it come from? From among us.
That's right.
Even your lusts desire by implication. So we have some conflicting desires, and then it leads to a conflict and a war among us, you know. That's war, and members is like here speaking of a limbo part of the body. So James here was looking at the early church, how there was conflicts and wars among them. And he wanted to find out the source of the conflicts and wars among the people. And he asked them a question, like we are asking ourselves tonight, from where do these things come from? And he answers to say, come they not of ourselves? Do these things not come from us, from our members? Which war in inside of us, you know? Now, just going back there to the verse we read in the book of Proverbs, talking about a man that takes over a city. Like we are saying that a city is a great thing.
Amen.
In those days, they would build a city and build a wall around the city. You can imagine what the city of Jericho was like. And there would have been even a house built on a city wall. That must have been some wall. But because they cannot completely enclose themselves within a city, they have to leave a gate into the city. The gate to let people in, to let people out, for trade and things like that, because you can't contain yourself completely. But at the gate, they would put some soldiers to guard the gate, to keep the gate in possession, so that they have control of who comes in and who goes out. But when a man comes to take over a city, he has to find a way of getting into the city in the first place. And a gate is the weakest point on a city wall.
That's right.
The wall could be very high. You couldn't really climb it in those days. But at the city gates, where you can walk in, there's soldiers. And if you can deceive them to get in, then at least you've got your foot into the place that you want to take over.
That's right.
So I like to think of a city as I look at myself. And this is not without reason at all, but like the Lord Jesus says that you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid.
Right.
And in another place, I think it's in the book of Psalms, it says that except the Lord keep the city, the watchman worketh but in vain. So when we look at those verses and we try to look at ourselves as a city and just type ourselves as a city that is built and it's got this great wall around us and it's got gates which we need to go out, like Jerusalem didn't have one gate. It had a number of gates, the east gate, the west gate, the needle eye and so forth, because it's necessary for you to be able to go out, come back in, go out, come back in. So you need to have those gates, but you need to keep control of them.
Amen.
So I like to think of that as myself, as a human being. The way that God built me, the way that he built you.
Amen.
I'm sure if you read in the message, you'll find where the prophet speaks about how we have a soul, a spirit, and a body, and he speaks of the gateway to the soul.
That's right.
Amen.
He speaks of the gateway to the body, the things that we need to contact this world, the sight and the hearing and the sense of smell and so forth. And even in the spirit, there's some senses there as well. So he speaks about the imagination, affections and things like that, so that we can contact the world that we live in. But we find that the human spirit, ever since the Garden of Eden, ever since the fall of man, has been under siege by the enemy. The devil has put the human... So imagine the devil has come against a city called Jerusalem. The devil has come a city against a city called to put me under siege so that he can get in there and take control. The reason he wants to do this is because there's nothing that he can do outside of a body.
If
the devil can get a body that he can use to achieve his purposes, and we know what his purposes are, is to kill and to destroy, nothing else. just to do mischief. So he needs a body that he can take over just as much as God needs a body tonight. You know? So in the Garden of Eden, he probed and probed and probed and he took over the body of the serpent. And he knew, if I can somehow get in and speak to this woman and this, and we know what happened there in the Garden of Eden. So that's how the devil came in and he took over. Because he can't do anything outside of a body. Even when he wanted to put Jesus on the cross, he had to anoint somebody.
That's
right. Take over the body. The Bible says he entered into Judas, you know, so that he can achieve his purposes. So when you are built as a city, as a human being, and you have all these gates around you, and they have been under siege since the day you were born, because the Bible says that I was born in sin, came to the world speaking lies. I never had to be taught to speak lies.
Right.
Why? Because the fallen nature that I was born with is under siege. And it's easily susceptible to the enemy coming in, anointing me, use me to do some mischief, and go. And he keeps doing that. And that's the thing that we want to look at. To say, how can we overcome this devil? Because he's constant. Regardless of whether you are saved or not,
when
a man in fact becomes a Christian and is saved, Jesus says you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill. Now you are even more visible.
That's
so
right.
What does the enemy do? He points his attacks against you because now you have declared war against him. So you are more susceptible to the attacks of the enemy because you of your stand for Christianity, your stand for Christ. And because you have taken a stand for Christ, he now comes and you are saved. It's your soul that is saved. And it's sealed away. And there's got no access there. But he tries to get access through other means, this other realm of the body that we have. If he can get in through your sight or through your senses or something or the other, then he can achieve his purposes.
That's right.
Now, just looking at a city again. So when you have your city and you have the gates and you've got people placed at the gates there to guard your city, because you don't want enemies coming in. You want to keep all the undesirables outside of the city for the maintenance of city, of peace in that city. But if the enemy can come and somehow take control of a city gate, that's a disaster for you.
That's right.
Because once he is in control of one of your gates now, the gates belong to you. But if he comes and takes control of one of those gates, especially as a spy, a spy is somebody that you think is on your side, but he has come and has taken control, and you think that this is one of my guys. And you, and then now those guys, because they are spies, they know they are on other people. And they can let in the enemy into the city.
That's right.
They can let in as much as is necessary to take control of the city. So that's the firewall that perhaps if we could look at it like that, that the pastor was talking about on Sunday. That if your firewall is not up to date, it can easily be taken over, hacked by the enemy.
Right.
And then they can push in a lot of viruses into your system with the aim of taking it over. So that's exactly what happens with the with this city we are talking of a human being, where if the enemy can possess one of your gates, then for that moment that he has possessed the gates, those gates don't belong to you anymore. Just as much as when people come and possess the gates of a city, the enemy comes and possesses the gates of a city. That city doesn't belong to the king in the that gate doesn't belong to the king in the city anymore, because
that's
it's
right.
in the hands of the enemy.
Right.
And the enemy can do whatever they want with that gate. They can let in the enemies and they won't let out any of the soldiers or anything. So for that time, that city is no longer, that gate is no longer in your possession. It is now possessed by the enemy. It's now working, instead of working for you, it is now working against you.
That's Right.
That's the thing that the devil does.
That's right.
When he can come and take over your fight to work against you.
Man.
Now it becomes a gate in his hands or his possession. You think you are in possession of your gate of sight, but the enemy has taken control of it and he is using it now against you. Or maybe it could be your feelings. And he has come and has taken control of them. And you think they are yours. And something happens. It's time for service. And Brother Wilmore comes out there. From nowhere you are filled with indignation. Why isn't it Brother Eli preaching today? Why the enemy is now working against you using your own feelings? Yeah? Brother George picks up a song. Did he have to pick that song? You know? And already the enemy is working against you using that indignation that rises inside of you. He uses that against you. You know?
That's right.
And so, when you look at a city and how it's built and how the walls are so thick, and there's even a house of Rahab on the city wall, there's soldiers' houses all over the city wall, it's very difficult to just come in and barge through one of the walls. But the easiest place that you can try to focus your attack on is on the city gates. Because they are the weakest point in the defense of the city. So when you look at that as a human being tonight, that God built me and he has given me all these things, there's no other way that the enemy will ever come in unless through one of the gates that God has given me to contact the world. When it comes to Eve, the enemy came with the reasoning. And he came with sight. Do you look at that fruit? How beautiful it is. And she had to look. You know? So every time the enemy comes to attack you, he's going to focus on the weakest point that you have. And he's going to try to use all his resources with that point, that gateway that God has given you. So those are the weakest points in our system that we have. Because the body is not yet redeemed. And we are prone to the enemy attacking us through those gates. And if we are not careful, there's not a strong man to look after the city gate, he can take control. And that gate becomes our enemy now. Your own sight can work against you. Your own desire for money, because you desire it so much and you're working in a place where there's money, you can end up stealing. And that desire is now working against you. The devil has possessed it and he's using to work against you. You know? So, and then once he does that and he can get inside of you, he has now a body that he can use. And then he can anoint you to do what he wants. If you could put for me there just the slide for the other system. The next one. This is from the message, Go Away Jesus. Did you ever see a man that has been stricken by an evil spirit like that? He is several times strength. How I have noticed them in the meetings when groups of police couldn't even hold them. They would tear them to pieces and throw them aside and get out and carry on. Because he is so fully surrendered to the evil one. So the devil has come against this man. And he has entered in and the man has fully surrendered. Just to surrender. You know, you've got your sight. When you are walking down the street and something is presented before you, you have a choice whether to surrender your sight to see those things or to turn your head away. You're sitting at a table, people are talking and gossiping, and you are hearing. You have a choice. Whether you will partake of that and be part of it, or you just get up and walk away. But this man here, he so surrendered all his gates to the enemy. Fully surrendered to the evil. It took possession of his own, of him. And he had not his own understanding. So this thing can go beyond just your thoughts. It goes beyond your sight. It can go beyond just any of the gates. It goes to even your understanding. Until you have no understanding of your own, the prophet says. He only only did what the evil spirit put in him to do.
Mm.
So this is a serious thing, because this is what the devil is trying to achieve.
Right.
Imagine in the last days, it says in the Bible that they will kill you thinking they are doing me a service.
That's right.
What happened to those people? They have so fully surrendered until they don't have their own understanding.
Mm.
And they will actually kill you thinking we are doing God a service. Mm. Let's hunt those Christians. I mean, why? Because they surrendered. And their understanding is not of their own. Then I thought, with a complete surrender to the devil, can give a man maybe five times his strength. What would a complete surrender to God give a man?
That's right.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So the same way that you surrender your gates to the enemy, just something happens and you just give your mouth to speak something. That's exactly the same way you should give your mouth to speak something after you have surrendered your mouth to God.
That's amen.
Just to sit here, hear something and it's good and say, amen.
Amen.
You have given over your mouth, surrendered it to God.
Right.
That praise can come out of it.
Amen.
But
amen.
When you surrender to the enemy, it's the opposite.
Mm.
What would a complete surrender to God do to a man? What would it do to a cripple? Even the body parts when they are crippled. And you completely surrender and can't even walk or something. If we could just completely yield to the Holy Ghost to give us super strength.
Amen.
To rise in the name, because greater is he that's in you.
Amen.
So this one has to be in you than he that's in the world outside.
Amen.
So he's outside of your city walls
trying
to press in. But the one that's inside is greater than the one that's outside.
Amen.
If you surrender to the one that's inside, greater is he than the one who's outside.
Mm.
There's
Amen.
No way the one outside can get in.
That's right.
Do you get that?
Amen.
I want to read a little bit from the Bible.
Amen.
In the book of Samuel. In First Samuel. Just for an example. So these things can stick.
Amen.
Amen.
First Samuel 18. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that's Goliath, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul, with tablets, with joy, and with instruments of music. This was a victory day celebration. Because something mighty had happened.
Amen.
The Philistines had the Israelites under siege.
Mm.
And there comes David and he wins the victory over them.
Mm.
And everybody is rejoicing. Even Saul must have been rejoicing.
Mm.
And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s.
Mm.
And Saul had this.
Nice.
And Saul was very wroth. See, he heard something. And it made him to become very wroth. The saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000. To me they have ascribed but 1,000. What can he have more but the king? So in other words, he felt threatened that David is going to take over. Because the people are giving him more praise than they are doing to me. And he gave room to that wrath. That it came into him and he thought of it and he thought, what else can David have? You know? He became so jealous and afraid of David. But Saul had not even realized that it wasn't because of this. It was because of his disobedience.
That's right.
He was a disobedient man. He couldn't listen to the prophet. Samuel, when he told him,
amen.
Wait for me. The man was not that kind of a man that could be obedient to the word of God. So it was in his nature already, and because of that, God had said, I'll choose me a man. Go to Jesse's house. And he anointed David. Then Saul was troubled with the spirit, and he
account for a man that can sing. David came to sing. The spirit would go away. Now David slays this Goliath. And the people are singing like this. Now, if you are spiritual, I think if you look at it with a spiritual, because now after this, Saul was seeking to destroy David. But if you read the scriptures at this point, Saul didn't know that David was anointed to be next king.
That's right.
So what was playing out here? It was the devil. He knew that this boy is going to be king. How can I destroy him?
That's right.
And he was looking for opportunity all this time.
Amen.
Then the next thing, he finds a man that is wroth and displeased.
Wow.
Against David himself. Perfect opportunity. The devil has a plan against you, Brother Nathan. He's not happy seeing you coming here, leaving the Catholics. He has a plan to destroy you. Now you do something and it makes me wroth and angry at this Brother Nat. And the devil says, perfect. I have found a vessel to use again so that his plan can come to pass. This is what the devil does. This is what he did with David. Saul didn't know. David was going to become king. And the devil had a plan to say, how will I destroy David? And he found a willing accomplice in a man that became wroth. David didn't do anything to deserve this wrath from Saul. In fact, it was a favor that David had done to Saul.
Amen.
Killing Goliath. They didn't know what to do with Goliath. But he came, he killed Goliath, they won a victory, and he becomes wroth and so angry against David. Then the devil just anointed him. And what does he do? Now seeks to kill David. If you could put my slides again, I would like to. The next one. The prophet is speaking of the maniac of Gadara. It's just another example. When this maniac met him, Jesus, he ran out there, I suppose, like he was going to kill him. But his sin, he was so complete, that's Jesus saying the man was so completely filled with devil, that the boy was so completely surrendered to Satan till the devil used his tongue. You believe the devil can use your tongue?
No.
Certainly the prophet says he does. Make you say things that you don't want to say. Make you lie, steal, make you tell things that's not right. Say bad words that God don't want you to say. The devil gets complete control of you. So the next time when you sit down and say something that God doesn't want you to say, remember who's using you. Who you have surrendered your tongue to. It's the devil. The next time you say a lie or steal or do things that's not right, remember who you have surrendered to. Yeah? Well then, if he gets all the way control of you, you don't know what you're going to say. You can be so anointed of the devil until you start saying things that even believers would never believe, that a child of God would say this against another brother. You become a madman, he says. Do you believe your tongue can be used for Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Certainly it can. Then you sing the gospel.
Amen.
Your tongue is being used for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You preach the gospel. You speak good things.
Amen.
Talk good things and say good words.
Amen.
Then you can become so completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit till he can speak a language that you know nothing
about.
That's right, he can. So this is that maniac that the devil had so possessed his mind that it wasn't his own mind anymore. The Bible says in the book of Mark that he stayed in the tombs where the dead people are buried, you know? He stayed there in the tombs cutting himself. That's a demon-possessed person. Just doing harm, just being mischievous. That's exactly what the devil wants to do, is just to be mischievous. To cut yourself. Do this. That's what this man, when he had surrendered himself to the devil, he didn't have his mind, he could cut himself and do whatever he was doing. Just another example before we move on. I think I'll take it from the book of Matthew, chapter 26.
Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman, having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Indignation, the disciples had. And I looked to see, what does this word indignation mean? Anger or annoyance provoked by something you perceive to be unjust. When they looked, they thought, there's so many suffering people. And this brother here, instead of using those resources to help the suffering brothers over there, or perhaps maybe, there's witnessing going on in Calo there on Saturday. And this brother, instead of using his time, he spends the day at home for a birthday party or something. You know, they had indignation because they thought their cause was just. Like we could have solved this. I think the pastor was talking about this sometime. How this box, the money that it cost was a year's salary. That's a lot of money. I mean, if one person could give me their year's salary, that's a lot of money.
Amen.
You know?
That's right.
So when they looked, they thought they were justified. And they thought, why would such a waste take place? And indignation rose in their hearts. It says disciples, not one disciple. Disciples. It was more than just Judas Iscariot that had this indignation. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he explained to them. But in verse 14, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests. After this indignation, he went into action. What happened there to Judas? If you turn to the account in the book of Luke 22. Luke 22. Verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. So again, this example, looking back at what we are talking about with David and Saul, look what is happening here. There's a group of people somewhere that are seeking how they might kill Jesus. Well, we can go back and look, where did they get this program? It was the program of the devil.
Right.
He had entered into them, and they wanted to find opportunity how they might kill Jesus. This is happening on one part of the city. On the other part of the city, Jesus is having a feast, and a woman comes with an alabaster box, anointing. And the disciples have indignation in them. And the next thing we remember, we read, is that then one of the 12 called Judas went to the chief priests. But here in 22:2, the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Do you mind to go to the next verse? Then entered Satan into Judas, named Iscariot. From that indignation.
Amen.
Because the devil was looking at this time. Who shall I use to achieve my purpose? He wanted to put Jesus on the cross. And remember, Jesus says, Peter, the devil had desired you, but
right.
I prayed for it. That's why he said in the book of Matthew 26 that the disciples, not one, but disciples, had indignation. And I have reason to think Peter would have been one of them.
That's right.
And the devil came to try, because the devil had been studying Peter from the very beginning.
That's right.
The prophet says Peter used to speak out of ten all the time. He was that kind of a brother. And the devil would be discussing, looking to say, this sister here, she's prone to this kind of a thing. When the time comes that I want to destroy brother Daniel, this is the one I will use. This brother here is prone to this kind of gambling and things. When the time comes to betray the saints, or during the time of the squeeze, this is the vessel that I want to use. So he would have been studying Peter, and Jesus said, Peter, the devil has desired you. But I've prayed for you. Why? Because Peter had the keys.
Yes, right.
Imagine if it was Peter who had been used to do this.
and would have killed himself with the keys on. So Jesus prayed for him, and the devil now, when he seen all this indignation among the disciples, he came, tried to enter into his vessel. The gate is locked. Then he tried this one on Peter. The gate is locked. He tried that one again until he didn't know what to do with Peter. He went into a panic almost to think, my plan is going to derail. This is the perfect opportunity. Then he looked again and looked, oh, brother Judas. And he went in, and the Bible says he entered into Judas. Judas had these tendencies as well.
That's right.
If you look back, Judas had these tendencies of doing this kind of things. He used to steal money from the money.
That's right.
In the church, where people put money, their tithes and offerings, this brother used to take from there. He was like Saul. He was never obedient to the Lord. So he would do things like that there. And when the time came, the devil's chosen vessel to do his work, all the gates are locked. What does he do? He finds a willing accomplice. Then from nowhere, Judas, after seeing the West, he just surrenders completely to the devil. And he says, okay, this is unjust. I'm going to serve you. And we find the devil entered into him, and he went and he sold Jesus Christ. So what happened to Judas there? It's what we have been talking about. That he so surrendered his own mind to the devil until he lost his mind. It wasn't his mind anymore.
That's right.
I'm sure such occasions had come before, and you'd resist them. Because he wasn't fully surrendered. Sometimes temptation rises up in your life and you resist it. And it goes away. That's what the Bible says. Resist
Amen.
The devil.
Amen.
Right.
But here, when he fully surrendered, when he seen something that he thought, this is completely unjust. Wasting that money. Even though I used to steal, but that's a lot of money wasting. I'm going to, this is not the Son of God. And he goes and betrays the Son of God. So what happened? He surrendered his mind until it was not his own mind. And the moment the devil achieved his purposes, and Judas went, talked with the scribes and the chief priests, they agreed on something, he comes back, he betrays the Lord with a kiss. They took the Lord, they persecuted him and so forth, and then he's committed to death on a cross. Now the devil's plan is completely in place. He knows now there's no more going back. So he leaves Judas. Now Judas gets his senses back again. And he looks at the situation and says, what have I done? I have betrayed innocent blood. Didn't he know that before? He knew it, but because he had lost his mind. And the devil achieved his purpose. Now he says, I have betrayed innocent blood. Let me go back and make this right. Try to give the money back. They said, that's up to you. What does Judas do? He goes and kills himself. To show that when the devil is anointing you to do something, don't give him room at all.
Amen.
The Bible says, shun the very appearance of him.
Amen.
It looks evil.
Right.
Shun it completely.
That's
why?
Right.
Because you will end up like Judas.
That's right.
That's what he wants to do, is that if he can use you and promise you 30 pieces of silver, don't think you are you going to use that 30 pieces of silver. When the anointing of the devil leaves you,
right.
and you see what you have done, because you know the truth.
Amen.
The people in the world don't care. They don't know the things that you know.
That's
but
right.
you, because you know, and you get your mind back, then you look to see, what have I done? What have I done? Then you try to make it right. It's not going to be made right. What do you do? Like Judas did. You go and kill yourself.
Nice.
The devil is only looking to destroy and to kill.
That's right.
That's why you should never, no room at all for the devil.
Amen.
That's why when you are the man of the city, with your gates, you should not even give one of them to the devil.
Amen.
Amen.
See, I want to say, the brothers will never know that I'm coming a little. He is setting a trap for you to destroy
right.
you completely.
That's right.
That's the enemy that we are dealing with. So when you look at the example of Judas, or the example of Saul, Saul became his own worst enemy. Yeah? Just like Judas became his own worst enemy. It was his own decision that I'm going to kill myself. After he had given over one of his, or all of you, to the devil. And then whatever he had given to the devil began to work against him. And he became his own worst enemy. So now when you have given over your gates to the enemy, the time is now coming where you must possess those gates again.
Amen.
They must come back into subjection of the word of God.
Amen.
They must come back into your control. The strong man that is inside of you, who's mightier than the one that is out. That's the one that must be taking full control of the gates that God has given you to access this world.
Amen.
Never to be submitted to the devil. Now, if you could just put again those slides. Just. Yes. Now, this maniac of Gadara was so completely in the hands of Satan. Poor fellow. Bound. Perhaps one time a good man. That really struck me. Perhaps one time sitting in church like this. Singing together. He was a good man perhaps at one time. Remember when he got healed, Jesus said to him, go home and tell your friends. He actually had friends at home. He had a home to go back to. So this man was a good man at some point. But what happened? He just started trifling a little here and trifling a little there. These little things, the little thing, a little bit of argument here. It will lead you to a place where you lose your mind completely. After a while, the devil had him out in a tomb, you know? And when he was, he's such a powerful man, till they could bind him with chains and he just break the chain. After he had become anointed of the enemy. But it's a very dangerous place.
Amen.
To be. Now, going back to the city over here, inside of the city is riches.
Amen.
And told your soul is in there.
Amen.
Yeah. And the devil is trying to do all that he can to get in there. To damn your soul. If he can get possession of one of those gates, he will let in as many devils as necessary. Yeah. To achieve that. Now, the devil, when he comes to attack a person, he is also not a cheap businessman. When he comes with an attack, he's going to bring the very best that he can on the very weakest point that you have.
That's right.
Because he wants maximum damage with little effort. So when he comes to attack you, he's going to do that. He's got no other way of attacking you except to use those gates that you have. You know? Now, but you, when you have those gates in possession completely, and he tries and tries to attack you through your sight, and you don't give him. And then he tries that one. That's how you are resisting the enemy. He tries to attack from this side, that side, that, until he sees there's no way to get this blood. He's completely sealed off access into the inside there. Then you are resisting the enemy, you see. Then you flee from it. Because you can see that my, no matter what I do, no matter how many people step on this sister's toes, no matter how much she has done for the Lord, and people don't appreciate it, she still comes the next time and does it the same way she did last time. There's no way I can get to this ground. No matter how cold it becomes. I remember when I was growing up and we would go to church on a Sunday. That wasn't an easy thing to do. Going to church on a Sunday. That was a hard thing because it would be so hot. The church starts at 9 o'clock. The church is so many kilometers away and we have no car. And we'd get a bus from home into the city and then walk from home, from the city to the church, 6 kilometers under the hot sun of Africa. And get to church at 9 o'clock. Then find almost all the benches are filled. And you are standing at the back. It wasn't an easy thing to go to church under those conditions. especially with persecution at home, where your parents, for no reason, they say, you mustn't go to that church. They'll be happy for you to go to any other church. And then on the way to church, every Sunday, before getting into town, my stomach would become so painful, like nothing. Oh, it was so hard. You know? And every Sunday it used to happen. And because of that, I could see this is just the devil.
That's right.
It's just the devil trying to stop me from going to church. Because if I can get so sick like this, knowing that when I get off this bus, I have to walk 6 kilometers before getting to church, it will discourage me. But I said, I'm going anyhow.
Amen.
I'm going. So by doing that, I possessed the gate of the enemy.
Amen.
Until he had nothing else he could do with me concerning that. And then he just gave up. I never was sick until today on a Sunday.
Amen.
You know? Because the enemy, once he starts to attack you and he sees something is working there, then he keeps attacking until the next thing, you're sitting at the back of the church. The next thing, you take the door out, you never come in. And he has won the victory. But if you can know that this is my position,
amen,
I will not give in to the enemy. And you will resist him and resist him. He will flee from you. Because the Bible is true. It says resist the enemy and he will flee from you. Now, when he has come against you with the greatest attack that he has, and you defeat him on that greatest attack, what other attack can he bring against you? Once you have defeated the devil, when he brings the best that he has, on the weakest point that you have, and you manage to defeat him on that place,
Amen.
Every other attack that he's going to bring is going to be secondary.
Amen.
Right.
It just won't matter.
That's
it's right. Just probing to see. Otherwise, you have defeated him already.
Amen.
So the best that he had was to put Jesus on the cross. And the weakest point that Jesus had, and he was defeated.
Amen.
So what's the worry about?
Amen.
Imagine when David went to see his brothers and saw the whole army perplexed. And they didn't know what to do with the best that the Philistines had. Goliath, he was saying, send a man to fight me. If you defeat me, you have defeated all of us. We become your slaves. The enemy boasting when he has the ground over you.
That's right.
That's what the devil does. So he brought the best that he could against the Israelites. And they didn't know what to do. But God sent David. David slew Goliath. Yeah? And what happened to the rest of the Philistine army? They fled. They could not withstand anymore. They became slaves to Israel. So if you can withstand the devil, when he brings the best that he has, and the best instrument that the devil can ever use against you is yourself.
That's right.
So when you can possess your own gates and put them under subjection of the word of God, and withstand the enemy, there's nothing that he can do against you.
Amen.
You know? Because that's the best that he has, is your body. Even the three children, the Hebrew children in the book of Daniel, you know? And the king brought the best that he had against them. The fiery furnace. And heated it 7 times. Saying, we want to burn them for disobeying them. What did they do? They just said, whatever you do, king, if our God doesn't serve us, well, be it. But we will not worship.
Amen.
They just stood on the, they resisted the king.
Amen.
Because he was putting pressure on them. I'll put you in the fiery furnace. They say, put us. We will not worship.
Amen.
I'll hit it 7 times. They say, heat it up. We will not worship.
Amen.
Yeah? And so he prepared the furnace, put them in the furnace, the best that the king had. Did it work? God came in the midst, possessed the gates of the fire.
Amen.
And they were not burnt. When he had the best, the most hungry lions that he could get and put Daniel in there. Daniel just stood on the word of God and resisted the enemy. And so the king could not do anything else. There's nothing else he could do to those boys to say, okay, you survived the fire, now I'm going to lash you. No. They defeated the best that he had.
Amen.
And the king had to flee.
Amen.
He had to take away the pressure. So if you can defeat and possess the gates that the enemy tries to possess in
Amen.
You. If you can possess all your gifts, put them under the word of God in such a way, then he has got nothing that he can do.
Amen.
The next one. Yes. Now let us remember also, he also created our bodies. And what our bodies have to obey him, this is God himself.
Amen. Amen.
He created your body when there was nothing. He says, let there be light. And the elements, wherever they came from, obeyed God.
Amen.
And there was light. He spoke so many things and they obeyed him. So won't your body obey God when he speaks? You know?
Amen. Amen.
You surrender your thoughts to him. Yeah? Surrender your life to him. Surrender your faith to him. And watch that body obey what he says.
Amen.
If you are a drunkard, you can't quit drinking. Surrender that life to him and watch. You drink no more.
Amen.
That's all. We are so easily prone to surrendering to the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very easy to say a lie when you are under pressure.
That's right.
So easy to come late to work. You don't even think about it. You just surrender your thoughts and the next thing, words come out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had a sick baby in the morning. There was no sick baby. Lying. That's how surrender. That's how easy also it is. You know, God is hidden in simplicity.
Amen.
That's just how easy it is to surrender your thoughts to the Lord. You are led to work and the temptation comes. What will I say to my manager this time? Just surrender your thoughts to the word of God. The truth will set you free.
Amen.
You can't say the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You're walking down the streets and oh my, whatever is going on, it's a hot day and the women are not dressed. Surrender your sight to the Lord.
Amen.
You are so sick and oh my, you don't know how are you going to wake up from that body. Just surrender your body to the Lord.
Amen.
Surrender your faith and just get out of that bed.
Amen.
The body will have to obey God.
Amen.
Because his word, God is his word. When
right.
God speaks, things must happen.
Amen.
So when God says you are healed, you must get healed.
Amen.
That's why it's a sin for you not to get healed. It shows you are not believing.
Amen.
So when you are faced with a situation, just surrender whatever it is,
Amen.
Whatever part of the body, just watch it obey what he says.
Amen.
That's all.
Amen.
If you are a drunkard, I think, a habitual smoke, try to give it up and you can't, just surrender to him and watch what will happen. He will make that body come back in subjection to the world. So if there is a gate inside of you, one of your gates, whether it's your sight, whether it's your memory, whether it's your affections, whether it's whatever that you have, and it has been overrun by the enemy, or maybe you don't even know it because there are spies taken over your gate. Yeah? The thing to do, to get possession of that gate again, just surrender. Just surrender your sight. Surrender your desire. If your desire is to desire wrong things, just surrender your desires to the word of God. And you see what happens. It has to obey.
Amen.
If you are a father and you have lost control of your house, what do you do? Just surrender to the Lord.
Amen.
That's all. There's nothing else to do here. Just surrender it all to the Lord. But you've got to surrender it to him. You've got to believe him. He made our bodies, they obey his will also. Do you believe it? If you are a Christian.
Amen.
I believe it.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I believe it. And if there's any situation tonight, the thing that we must do is let's surrender it before the Lord. And then the Lord, everything, whatever situation, it has to obey God.
Amen.
That's what it is. So let us stand up and sing a song. Just
Amen.
Thank you.
not work against him anymore. But then they become an offense to the enemy. When he tries to come in and he finds it's locked and he doesn't know what to do, so let's just pray and commit ourselves.
as well as the minister who has
received.
Lord, we all have that gate to have a Father, Lord, in weakness, Lord. And the enemy keep on probing, oh Father, where the night will come, Lord. We thank you for your word of assurance, oh Heavenly Father, God. The Lord, we have, oh Lord God, the capability and the strength, oh Lord God, Lord, to possess, oh Heavenly Father, every gate of the enemy, Lord.
Amen.
And tonight, Lord, we are possessing every gate, oh Lord
yes,
God. Lord, we pardon from here, Lord, stronger, oh Heavenly Father, Lord God. In faith, oh Lord God, we pardon from here, Lord God, Lord. To go, oh Heavenly Father, to surrender all that we are into your hands, oh Lord God, Lord. Oh, to your service, oh Lord God, unto the glory of your name, O Lord, this day, O God, Lord. Father, we pray your blessing upon your servant, Lord. You've used this day, O God, Lord. Father, restore virtue unto him, O Lord God, Lord. And Father, continue to use him mightily, O Lord God, for your work, O Lord. Father, I will thank you for the ministry in this house, Lord God, Lord. Thank you for our pastor, O Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord. To Brother Lee, O Lord God, Father, Lord. To Brother Maxwell, O Heavenly Father, Lord God. Father, we thank you for your grace, Lord. That you keep on feeding them with your word, O Lord God, Lord. Lord, bring that word into you. Season all the time, oh Lord God, Lord, for your children, oh Lord. And Father, I want to lift every one of them into your hands, oh God, Lord. And Father, you continue to use them, oh Lord God, Lord. Oh Father, as you said, Lord, we are so grateful and thankful, Lord God, Lord. Oh, for a good pastor, good shepherd, oh Lord God, Lord. Well, it has been yielded unto you, oh Lord God, Lord. We have surrendered all that he is unto you, oh Lord God, Lord. Oh, it should be shepherd, oh Father, by you, the great shepherd, oh Lord, Father.
Amen.
And Lord, we pray that you may continue to shepherd him and guide him, oh Lord God, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Even this time, my brother Maxwell is in your hands. The Lord God. Father, grant your grace, the Lord God, Lord. Oh, being of your business, the Lord, you anoint him, O God, Lord.
Amen.
And even dare us, Lord, he may possess the gates of the enemy, O Lord
yes,
God.
Lord.
We come in ordinance into your hands, O Father, Lord God. We pray for the services coming for, Lord, this weekend,
amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
After the Yahtzee coming, Lord, we come in into your hands, O Father, God. Let the same anointing may be upon him, O God, Lord. You know every need of our hearts, Lord, we pray, O God,
amen.
Lord. That you use him so mightily, O Lord God. You minister to every soul, O God. Lord. The
Amen.
Father, we may be blessed, the Lord God, Lord. And part of Father, this weekend, like those from the mouths of Father, once again,
Amen.
Lord. That our hearts of Father, that burn, the Lord God, Lord. Lord.
Yes.
We pray
Amen.
For all the brethren, Lord God. Keep them, O Lord. We pray this day, O Father, Lord.
Yes,
even this baby, Lord God, Lord. We want to start confessing, O God, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, you said, O Father, when
Amen.
We believe and we have faith, the Lord God,
yes.
Lord. And we have prayed, the Lord God, and we should confess, the Lord God, Lord.
Amen.
We love it, that we've asked for, Lord. We have received it, O God, Lord.
Amen.
And I want to confess and say, thank you, God. For your healing, oh Lord God.
Amen.
Oh, Father, for healing the baby, oh Lord God, Lord.
Amen.
For we know our prayers, oh Lord God, not come to you void and I tell
yes,
Lord. For Lord is not us praying, oh Lord, but the Spirit giving us options,
Amen.
Oh God, Lord.
Amen.
And we know that every situation is opportunity for you, oh Lord God, Lord.
Yes,
Lord, glorify your name and show your attribute as a healer, Lord God, Lord.
Amen.
And we know once again tonight, oh God, Lord, for the Lord. Oh, you are ready to show your attribute, oh God, Lord.
Amen.
And we thank you for your healing power upon that little baby,
Amen.
Lord God, Lord. As we
Amen.
Lift up before you, Lord God, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, to be a living testimony, oh God, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, I know, Lord, Lord, we pray this day, oh Father, God.
Yes,
Lord, you've done it many
yes.
times unto us, oh God, Lord. And we know you are the same, oh God, Lord.
Yes,
and you will do it again, Lord, for the
Amen.
Lord God. Oh, you've already done it again, oh Father,
yes,
Lord,
Lord
God. And Lord, we thank you for it, Lord, even tonight, oh God, Lord.
Amen.
Bless us now, Lord, even as we part, oh Lord God. Lord, you part with us, oh God, Lord.
Amen.
Keep
yes,
us
Lord.
On the roads, oh Father, Lord God, Lord. The day of it before us, even tomorrow, you bless it, oh God, Lord.
Amen.
You call everything into your hands, every desire, every need on every heart, Lord God, tonight.
Yes,
Father, we live before you, Lord God, Lord. You provide, Lord, and grant, Lord God, according to your grace, Lord. We thank
Amen.
You for tonight, Lord God. May your name be glorified, Lord, and now
yes.
and forevermore. As we ask all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.